Hello, my name is Slade Rickles, the pastor of the Liberty Baptist Church in DeLand, Florida. I've been pastoring Liberty Baptist Church for 25 years, and recently I was asked to give my testimony or put it on a CD, and it is on CD and sermons throughout the years, but I never took a whole service to give my testimony. So this year, 2008, which is our 31st church anniversary, it is also on July the 10th, my wife and I's 26th anniversary. And also 25 years ago, on July the 10th, I became pastor of this church. The Lord so led me to take the morning service and give my testimony. The following testimony is from my life from the time I was about 7 years old until I trusted Christ at 25. And so please understand, I started pastoring when I was 23. I was already pastoring the church a couple years when I came to learn and understand the things that I'm about to share with you. I trust this testimony is a blessing to you, and you might use it in the lives of others. If you so feel led of the Lord to contact me after hearing this and just share your testimony, I'd appreciate it very much. But do pray for me. I humbly present this, hoping that it will help others and stir others to consider Christ, consider their own testimony, and might get help from the Lord.
When I was 7, I was living on a farm in Kentucky, 1967. Could have been the year, could have been 66. A preacher came to our door, knocked on the door. My dad said, because we lived out in the country, he worked out of town, and out of town, we weren't in town. He worked somewhere else, and he said, don't open the door to anybody out here. And so we heard this knock on the door. We all ran and hid in the closet. I've told this story before. My mother, I remember us standing in that. It wasn't a closet built into the home. It was just a box. Remember that, Mother? We went and got in the closet, didn't we? All of us, Mother and the kids, and we were standing in the closet. So I don't know if we did that twice or once. I don't remember. I think we did it once. But next time he came on a Saturday. Jeffrey Wilden, wasn't it? Jeffrey Wilden. He came, knocked on the door, and invited us to church. And that's when I first remember hearing the stories of the Bible about Jesus as a little boy. And I thought about Brother Michael taking that little boy to junior church. And I thought about my grandson, Trenton. I looked around and said, I don't see Trenton. I said, oh, he's in junior church. He's hearing about Jesus too. From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. So that's my first recollections, Brother Johnny, about hearing about Jesus when a little boy. And then I made a false profession of faith. I didn't even know what it was called. I'd call it that now, but when I was 12 years old, I became very frightened about hell. I remember being very uncomfortable during the invitations after the messages, 12 years old. I remember having thoughts like, if I can just get this service over, I'll get out there in that Mustang and we can go home. We was driving that 67 Fastback Mustang. One of the stupidest mistakes I ever made in my life. My dad said, you can have this 71 AMC Javelin or you can have this 67 Fastback Mustang. I took the Javelin. Could you imagine that? Those are so rare today, those 67 Fastbacks. But that's what we was driving to church in. And I said, oh, if I can just get out in that Mustang and just get home. Then other Sundays I remember holding on the back of the pew just saying, I need to go up. I need to go up. But I wouldn't do it. And then one Sunday night, I remember it was a Sunday night. I think it was Sunday night. My brother, I think it was Brady, went forward. I was 12, he would have been 10. He went forward and it just crushed me. I said, oh, he's going up to get saved. And so I went up too. And when I went up there, I was crying just like I'm crying today. And I was so distraught. My soul was so turmoil. And the preacher said, what are you coming for? I said, I want to be saved. He asked me some questions about Jesus. I don't remember all that he said, but I remember asking about if I believe Jesus died for my sin. And I said, yes. And so after that, I I don't remember so much what happened after that, what he said. But anyway, I remember turning around and facing the congregation, and he said, "This young man is saved." And I would have been had I believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. All right? If I would have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, I would have been saved at that time. At that time, I thought I was saved. And so I remember my mom and dad coming up and hugging my neck, and I was crying. I think mama was crying. And then a few weeks or, you know, a few days after that, I was baptized at a church in Broadhead, Kentucky, wasn't it? I remember that. We didn't have a baptistry in that church. And so we went to church like that for a while, but then we got out of church. Whole family, we just got out of church. It was a combination of things. The grocery store was took a lot of our time. We got other businesses going. We got to riding dirt bikes on Sunday. We started going riding dirt bikes on Sunday instead of going to church. And then we moved to Florida. I was here about 4 months, and I met this girl right here. Well, I actually met her the first week I was here. I walked up to the bus stop. There was a yellow B2 Den Datsun. And there sat her mother behind the driver's wheel, and she was sitting in the passenger seat waiting for the bus. I looked at both ladies. I was 16 years old. I looked at the ladies. First thing in my mind, I tell you, so there's two beautiful ladies right there. First thing, her mother looked as young as her. Never given any other thoughts. Well, there's two beautiful ladies sitting right there. Got on the bus. A few weeks, months later, got to talking to her. She invited me to church. Guess where we went to church? In this building. It was not Liberty Baptist Church. It was pastored by another man. It wasn't even Liberty there. It was called Central Baptist Church. Liberty, a group of families, had left Central Baptist Church about a year before that, or a few months before that, and started another church, but they had this strong man. No, we hadn't done that yet. Y'all hadn't left yet. That was 76. You hadn't left until 77. In 76, Kim and George Durant and her mother were coming here to this church, and they invited me to come see this strong man. I was set right back about where Brother Borg, Brother Mullins sitting right there. I remember the dress that Kim had on that day. She still has the dress. My mother still has the dress, okay? Ask him why she gave it to her mother, my mother. But anyway, this man was up on this platform, and he was taking a 180-pound man and lifting him over his head 10 times just like this. Do you remember that, Brother Tony? In 76, you weren't here. Okay. He was over his head just like that. I was sitting back there, 16 years old, December of 1976. My eyes bugging out. Saying, I can't believe what I'm seeing. And he got down the floor and put a 400-pound man on his back. This man was huge. And he did push-ups with him on his back. And then he preached. And then we went over to the old gym at DeLand Middle School and played basketball. Remember that with Doug Parlin? First time I ever went to church with her. I really wasn't, I was watching him, but I was watching her too. You know, I kept looking at her. And then later, next year, we got to talking on the school bus, and we got to liking one another. We sat down the front porch of my dad's house where my mom and dad lives, where Patty and Jasper lives now, and she said, "Well, how do you like to arrange this boyfriend-girlfriend thing?" You know, we was talking about. And she said, "Well, I only like one boy at a time." And I said, "Well, that's what I like too. I just like one girl at a time, and we never did like anybody else." And then later, I started going to church with her. Liberty Baptist Church was over on the other side of town, and a lot of things I don't have time to tell you, but we started going to church, and I had long hair. It's down pretty long, and I got it cut a little shorter when I met her a little bit, and it's still over my ears long ways. And then, you know, more I heard the preaching of the Word of God, I got my hair cut, Brother Grett, and got religion. That's what I got. I got religion. And I started going out soul winning with the preacher, passing out tracts, knocking on doors. And when she didn't even come to church, if she was sick, I'd come to church. She thought later, she told me, she says, "Well, now I know you're serious now. When you go to church without me, I know you're serious." Well, went on like that for some time and finished high school. But God was working in me. There's something I kept asking myself, what am I going to do with my life? What am I going to do with my life? And I began to read the Gospel of John, and I began to pray. I said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And I felt impressed. I just felt a burden, and I can't put my finger on it, But I just said, Lord, I'll do anything you want me to do. My pastor at that time, Chuck Kent, said, I want to take you up to a school up in Lynchburg, Liberty Baptist College. It's a new school. So he took us up there, Kim and I, and another couple, older couple in the church. We looked the school over. I wasn't impressed. It's dirty. Old Virginia in May is rainy and wet and muddy and old red clay. And he said, what do you think? I said, I'm not impressed. He said, would you promise to pray this summer about it? I said, I'll promise you I'll pray every day. So every day I would pray. So Lord, then what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to that school? By the end of the summer, I was convinced that God wanted me to go to school there. I sold my 400 Yamaha motorcycle. I got rid of everything that I could, you know, and the church took up an offering for me, gave me a briefcase, opened it up, there was money inside of it. When I headed out to school, I had $1,200 in my pocket. I got up there, registered, went to school, left her back. That was hard for us because we had been liked each other for a year, and we really liked each other. I said, no, the Lord wants me to go to this school. So I went to school there. There I began to read the Bible. Now, let's follow there. I'm going to give you the important parts. Number one, when I was 20 years old, I was reading the book of Colossians. I'd been reading the Bible, and I read in the book of Colossians that Jesus Christ is the Creator. By Him were all things made. I remember getting up from my desk and standing back from the Bible and said, I can't believe it. I said, Jesus is the one who made everything. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. I said, that God is Jesus. He's the one that made everything. I remember at age 20 seeing that so clear. While I was in school, a couple preachers preached there, and it shook me about my salvation. But I didn't think I had a problem. I graduated when I was 22 years old. We had already liked each other now for, five years. I came back with one thing in mind, and I'm going to marry that girl. I got me a job working with my dad in construction. The month I got out of college, put me out there in Brandywine, over there near, you know, Brandywine, Trails West. I know about those firewalls and those apartments in there. We laid the block on those firewalls, and my dad, he was so strong, he was climbing those scaffolds, throwing block up there, some mud, mud! And I just got out from behind a desk for 4 years. And I literally almost passed out. I leaned up against the wall, and I was going like this, and my dad said, what's wrong with you, boy? Are you wide-eyed on me? You know, that means when your eyes roll back in your head. And, I barely made it. You know, I said, I got to get married and get, you know. Anyway, but I was trying to save money to get married. And we got married July the 10th, 1982. We got married. Well, I was working construction, continue work construction. Everything's going along there, and come about the end of 82, the church here, Liberty, was not in this building, called for my ordination. And so I was ordained on December 26, 1982, by this church, Liberty Independent Baptist Church. In January of 83, Bob Neal, who was the pastor at that time, the second pastor, he called and said, I want you to be my assistant. So I became the assistant to Bob Neal about 3.5 months. And 3.5 months in, he says, I'm out of here. And I'm like, what? Why did we just started? He said, no, I'm resigning. So I resigned. The men of the church met and said, well, what are we going to do? Well, Brother Rickles, he knows going to school for the pastorate. The Lord's call of God's on his life. So let's put him in the pastorate for 90 days as an interim pastor. Now, what that means is it's a trial. It allows the church to hear the man preach and allows the preacher to preach and pastor the people for 90 days. I said, that's fair enough. So I went on a 90-day trial basis, and I preached from April till July. July the 10th was the day that 90 days was up. July the 10th, 1983, we had a big day here, but not here in this building. But we had a big celebration, you know, anniversary. And I was convinced the Lord wanted me to stay here. And the church voted, and they voted to keep me as pastor. That was in July the 10th, 1983. Well, then the work really began. Preaching, teaching, every week. We started the nursing home ministry back in there, Brother Tony. So it's been, 25 years ago, 24 years ago, something like that. And things got going. In 1985, we had a missionary come through our church, just like we have today, Brother Gret. He came through. We had a revival planned, but the man who was scheduled to preach at that time, Brother Mack, could not come, so he had a man come in his place. And that man preached that day. This was in July of 1985, that when you trust Christ as your Savior, you get a well inside of you and you'll never thirst again. And he preached all day from John 4 and showed that a man that's saved always knows he's saved and he's confident that he's going to heaven. Well, my wife and I knew she had had problems with her salvation up until that time because we had discussed it. And I had taken her through many scriptures to try to convince her that you're okay. But yet it did not calm her fears or her soul. She felt like things are not right with me, and she would talk to me about it. Well, on that day in July, it was July the 14th, she walked the aisle that Sunday night and came, and I was standing in front of the pulpit in the old building. She took me by the hand, and she said, "Honey," I'll never forget her words. She said, "Honey, I know what my problem is." I said, "What?" She said, "I am not saved." And when she said that, God put a spirit through my heart and said, "What about you?" It's like just like a voice, and "What about you?" That night, Brother Gret, I went home that July night of 1985, and I opened this Bible, the book of John. I said, "Lord, I must be okay, but I've got this problem." And I began to read the book of John. And I want you to turn to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Started pastoring in 83. This was in July of 85. 2 years had passed. John chapter 6. I was reading in verse 53. Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of this bread shall live forever." And I asked the Lord, I said, "Lord, when did I eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood?" And I knew enough about the Bible to know he wasn't talking about his real flesh and his real blood. I knew that. I knew he was talking about the record of his death, the Word of God. In verse 63, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing.
The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you."
And so he said there that the record of his death and his bloodshed, he said, that's where life's at. Amen. In the Word of God. And I asked, when did I eat him? When did I take him? When did I receive him? So I began to go back when I was a boy, when I was 12. And I said, I didn't even know. You know, I was being honest, trying to be honest. It was hard to be honest. Because I would argue with the Lord. I'm saying, well, I must be saved. I must be okay because, well, I am the pastor. And I have been to Bible school. And I have gotten some things from the Bible. And my heart's been stirred. And I've seen answer to prayer. Boy, that was a big one. I have seen God answer my prayer to the T. I mean, I asked him for a certain amount of money. And he gave me that exact amount. And these things in my mind were going around. I was saying, Lord, this must be what salvation is. It must count. I must be saved because... And I would go prayers, Bible school, pastorate, just many things that were in my mind.
"And yet, as I read the Word of God, he said, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you."
And Brother Tony, I realized through the Scriptures that all those things that I was in my mind was not salvation. And here's the verse that God broke me and brought me to the cross. In Isaiah chapter 53, What a wonderful day it was. The light came on when I read this verse. I'd read it before, but I'd never read it in the need that I had at that time. In Isaiah chapter 53, in verse 11, Isaiah 53:11, he shall see of the travail of his soul. In verse 10, it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. Thou, the Lord, you shall make his soul an offering for sin. That offering was made by Jesus Christ. God gave the offering. God provided the offering. It was the Lord Jesus. His soul was made an offering for our sin. In verse 11, he shall see of the travail of his soul. The travail means the trouble, the turmoil, the anguish, the suffering.
God saw that.
God is the one that made his soul an offering for sin. Then God saw of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When Christ was on the cross of Calvary, my sins, and I say my sins because he died for me personally, but I know he died for me personally because he died for you. He died for the whole world. When he was on the cross, my sins were on Jesus. And he was being bruised and wounded by the Lord. He was being punished by the Lord. The Lord poured out his wrath upon Jesus, and his soul was in travail for my sin.
The Lord saw the travail of his soul. He saw it.
And it says, of course, this was written in the, you know, before it happened, he shall be satisfied. And Brother Elise, for the first time in my life, the light came on in my mind, and I said, it was Jesus and his sacrifice. It was him on the cross that satisfied God for me. And just like that, my college education, all of the things that I, in my mind, all the good deeds, all the good that I had done was filthy rags. I wasn't saying it was no good. It was good things, but it didn't count for my salvation. See, I had been counting those things in my mind. I didn't realize what I was doing, but I was counting them. I was saying, but I must be saved because, and I'd go back and look at my life. I'd start it back all the way that I could remember. I laid it out in my mind, the things that I'd done, the things that God had done, and I put it all together and said, and put an equal and said, that equals the fact that I'm saved. But on that day, God looked at Jesus. I saw God looking at Jesus on the cross of Calvary, his perfect life. He lived a perfect life, and there on the cross, he bore my sin in his body on the tree. Once and for all, he paid my sin, and God saw it, and it satisfied. Jesus satisfied God.
I can't tell you or describe what was happening in my soul.
But that day, I fled for refuge and laid hold on the Lord Jesus. I counted all my good works, filthy rags. And it's just said, it's not, it don't count. But Jesus counted for me. And I trusted him. I believed him. Kirk, what Jesus said a man has in John 4, if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. That's exactly what happened. It's true. It is true. That if you drink of the Lord Jesus, you'll never thirst again. And today, if you've never drank of the Lord Jesus, I beg of you, do not count your own works or count your past experiences as your salvation, your religious experiences. Because they don't count. Just Jesus counts. In Colossians 1, I think it's 1:20. And having made peace. Well, verse 19 says, it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. See? Having made peace through the blood of his cross. It was the blood of the cross. It was the blood of Christ. The blood of God. The precious blood of the Lamb of God. That made peace between this sinner and a holy God. Brother Mullins, that doesn't mean anything. Nothing else has worked. Nothing I've ever done. Nothing I've ever said. Nothing I'm saying. Nothing I will say. Has made peace between me and God except the blood of the Lord Jesus. That's why Paul said we have fled for refuge, to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Lay hold on Jesus. It says in whom, Ephesians 1:7, says in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Amen. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Now, this is just the introduction to the message. I've not actually got to the message today, but God just so impressed in my heart to just to try to take us back and look at the past. Amen. Look at the past. Michael, he had to leave, but he brought them little kids in here, and Kirk and Diana brought their little children to church today. These little ones are learning about Jesus. And you may not be so young. Maybe you didn't get an early start like they did. Maybe you came and started learning about Jesus later in life. But thank God you're learning about Jesus. But have you learned Him? Have you heard Him to the point that it made you realize you're lost and you've trusted Him to take you to heaven? I like what he said about faith and repentance today. Repentance just happens. It's not something you do. It's something that God grants. Amen. Through the Word of God, as you learn about Jesus. If you died today, listen, if you dropped dead today, and they're probably in this room between now and our next anniversary, there'll probably be somebody in this room that will not be with us this time next year. Brother Ken just stood, and we've been praying for Ellie. I remember 2 or 3 weeks ago, you spoke and said maybe somebody can talk to her about the Lord again. But he just stood there and stood and said, my sister died 1 week ago today. One day that's going to be you. You're going to step out into eternity. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior? Now, here in a moment, we're going to stand. We're going to rustle around. We're going to stand. And you're going to walk out the door and you're going to shake hands with the preacher. Unless you go out one of these other doors. You're going to get in your car. Turn on the music. Turn on the air. Whatever you do, and you're going to go out to eat, or you're going to go home to eat, or whatever you do. And you're going to go through another day. But this morning, God has touched your heart and said, listen, you need Jesus. You need to get this right. God has blessed you, just like she's saying, God has blessed me. He has allowed you to live another day. He's allowed you to be here. He's allowed you to hear the gospel. He's allowed you to hear about Jesus another day. But one day you'll spend your last day on this earth. And if you are not saved, you will suffer the vengeance of eternal fire. The end of every lost person, the end of every lost person is fire. I don't care how they die. They may die with a shark attack. Or may they may die like they did in those towers. Those people went up in people sitting in their office just after 9 o'clock on that September the 11th morning. And all of a sudden, it was just instantaneously. Some of them may have looked out the window, maybe looked, and just there it was. And just an explosion and heat and pain. And for many of them, it did not end. They went up in a ball of fire and kept burning and burning, and it got hotter than what they first experienced. They went to hell. That's reality. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. The most important thing for every person in this room is their soul's salvation. That's the most important thing. What are you going to do with Jesus?
Thank you for listening today to the testimony of Pastor Slade Rickles of the Liberty Baptist Church. If you are interested in contacting Pastor Slade Rickles, you can reach him at his home phone at 386-738-1822 or on his personal cell at 386-717-2417, or you can write to the church at 1365 West Plymouth Avenue, DeLand, Florida, 32720. You can also listen to messages that are pre-recorded on our website at libertybaptistdeland.com. That's libertybaptistdeland.com, where you can find out more about Liberty Baptist Church and see all our different ways of contacting us through email, phone, or by letter. We have this great book that we'd like to offer you called The Pain and Pleasure of Forgiveness, which directly deals with this matter of salvation. If you'd like a copy, please feel free to contact us.